remain standing for our gospel reading. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was starting out on a trip, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." "But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not falsely testify, do not cheat, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was a child." Jesus felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. "You lack only one thing," he told him. "Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell and he went sadly away because he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich people to get into the kingdom of God." This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to get into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to mention all that he and all the other disciples had left behind. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. And Jesus replied, "I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times over houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property with persecutions, and in the life to come they will have eternal life. But many who seem to be important now will be the least important then, and those who are considered least here will be the greatest then." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, again we ask you to open our ears and our hearts and to fill our hearts with courage to follow you. Amen. Please do be seated. We're missing a number of significant people this morning who regularly worship with us. They're away on a conference. So I know they'll be thinking of us, and we're thinking of them. And the reason why I paused was just to turn on my phone to record so they will be able to hear what I want to say. Because I think it's a very important service this morning, and I've really been looking forward to coming and preaching on this subject of prayer on this day, our gift day. Bit of a scary gospel reading for a gift day, wasn't it? Jesus looked at the young man and said, "Give up all you own and come follow me." You'll be pleased to know that that wasn't the reason why I chose this reading out of all the possible readings. I chose it for the line, "All things are possible with God." But let's just clear up one misunderstanding about that passage. Jesus didn't say that it was impossible for rich people to get into heaven. Jesus did not say that you had to give away your riches as a way of buying your way into heaven. He wasn't saying those things at all. What he was saying was that we must not trust in our riches. In other words, we must not trust on our own devices at all to get us into heaven or to get us into God's good books. It's all by grace. but as a response to God's love, then we might want to do more than simply keep the rules and tick the boxes, which is what the young man was doing. If we want to live a life that's completely dedicated to God, then we really will know that God calls us to give all of ourselves, including our bank accounts and our wallets, all of our lives, all of our time. But I chose that reading for that phrase, all things are possible. For the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at prayer, and this morning, as I promised you at the outset, for this last session, I would talk about what we do when prayer gets hard, because prayer sometimes does get very difficult. Sometimes practically it can be very hard to find the time and the space to pray. Sometimes spiritually it can get very discouraging praying because we feel that we don't see many answers to our prayers. Sometimes intellectually we worry about prayer because we're not quite sure what its purpose is and how important it is. Why, if God knows everything, does he want us to pray? So we have these difficulties with prayer. It encouraged me, and I hope it encouraged you, to realize that Jesus also wrestled with God and wrestled with the whole idea of God not answering his prayers. In one of the most famous prayers of all time, which I've written up here for you just for you to focus on, it's not essential that you see it, choir, so you don't feel too left out. It's simply the 21-word prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. This prayer of Jesus was said in his moment of extreme need and pain and fear and anxiety, and it was not answered. Not in the way Jesus asked. The cup was not taken away from Jesus. But I want to just pause and look at different sections of the prayer, which is why I've drawn them in different colours. Abba, Father. What did Jesus manage not to forget when he was praying in such an extreme, difficult situation? He remembered that God was still his Abba, Daddy. God was still love. Abba is the Jewish word for daddy. It is an intimate and tender word. There was no disconnect between Jesus and his Father just because something awful was happening to him or about to happen to him. And we all know that disconnect, don't we? When something bad happens to us, it is almost the first thing in our heads to think, well, God really doesn't love me because this has happened to me. That is not the case, ever. Jesus did not fall out and doubt the love of the Father. In the C.S. Lewis story, The Magician's Nephew, if you're familiar with it, Diggory, the little boy who has gone looking for the Tree of Healing because his mother is dying of cancer, meets Aslan, the lion, and he wants some of the leaves from the tree and says to Aslan, but please, please, won't you give me something that will cure my mother? Up until then, Diggory had been looking at the lion's great feet and the huge claws on them, and now in his despair, he looked up at it as his face. What he saw surprised him as much as anything in his whole life, for the tawny face was bent down near his own, and wonder of wonders, great shining tears stood in the lion's eyes. They were such big, bright tears compared with Diggory's own that for a moment he felt as if the lion must really be sorrier about his mother than he was himself. My son, said Aslan, I know grief is great. Never for one moment did Jesus forget that God loved him. That's our first challenge, not to forget that. The power of prayer, said Andrew Murray, the power of prayer depends almost entirely upon our understanding of who it is with whom we speak. If you were here last week, you'll know I showed a video to the children at the harvest service. We had a little video, the screen was working, and there was a picture of God Almighty coming down and just touching the little cartoon person and the whole world going into rainbow bright colours. And the point was made that if prayer is talking to God Almighty, then prayer is one of the most important things we can ever do. The second line of that, everything is possible for you. Jesus didn't forget that God loved him. And Jesus didn't forget that God was all-powerful. Every time I say, after the confession, I declare the absolution, the first phrase of that is God's love and God's power. Those two things always go hand in hand, God's love and God's power. Don't ever doubt God's power. Jesus didn't doubt God's power. He acknowledged, though, that God was in complete control. Now, here's where I make a confession. For the last 3 weeks, the notes for this sermon, I've been basing them on some notes that were already produced by an organisation called the National Prayer Weekend. They've been very helpful. And every now and again, in their sermon notes, they say, and now share an amazing answer to prayer story. And I thought, okay. And it's not that I haven't got answer to prayer stories. I've got loads of answer to prayer stories. This morning at 4:30, I was awake. And I had a conversation with God about this answer to prayer story that I was meant to include this morning. And I said, but it just feels very kind of unmiraculous and normal and kind of what would have happened anyway kind of story. And I got the kind of divine nudge that said it was still miraculous. Because actually, that is how God works through people. So our very small story is that Matthew, who for the last 5 weeks before he came home was incredibly anxious about getting a job, managed not only to get himself a job within a week of being home, yesterday he got himself the place that he wanted to live. Having steadfastly refused to take my advice to look at more places, he got the one place that he really wanted. So, okay, that might have happened anyway. But also at 4:30 this morning, I had another conversation. I was still having this conversation with God. Don't worry, I went back to sleep. I'm all right. But God said to me, maybe it's time to, you know, other people have lots of amazing answers to prayer. I don't normally like turning to famous Christian stories because famous Christian stories make me feel quite inadequate and they make me feel, well, God might answer their prayers like that, but they don't answer my prayers. But anyway, when I then got up at 6:30, I sat down to pray again, and this book was the first book that my eye fell on and I felt a divine nudge. And I opened it. I've never opened it before because I haven't read it. And I opened it to this story. It was the first story that I turned to. And I said to God, God, this is a bit last minute as far as sermon preparation goes. And he said, just read it. So I'm going to share this story with you because it's incredibly relevant. And I had to laugh out loud at the end of it. Here's a story from Heidi Baker. She is a famous Christian. She's done amazing things in Mozambique. I've visited where she worked. She runs orphanages for small children. She's fed thousands and thousands of children and changed lives in in Mozambique. So she writes, "One day I was with praying with the Lord, and the Lord gave me a vision of fresh water wells and a particular church. And then I felt that he was calling me to drill the wells, to have the wells drilled, and to put them near the churches. Now, when God tells us to do something, while we are in his presence, we need to respond. So after I had heard God speak to me about the wells, we went and bought 2 well drilling rigs, which I'm sure must have been very expensive. The church I had seen in my vision paid for one of the rigs. When the rigs arrived, we lost the keys to the first rig almost immediately. The second rig and the blaster were transported in 2 huge containers. The blaster is needed to get through especially hard ground, and this turned out to be prophetic because for the next 2 years, both drilling rigs just sat there. We lost the only properly trained engineer we had, who was from India because he lost his visa, and our friend then took charge of the project, but then he was called to leave the country. We tried to get help to operate the drills, but in Mozambique, this proved difficult to say the least. So there we were with a couple of fine, well-drilling rigs no one could get to work. It was pitiful. The means to this great vision were sitting around doing absolutely nothing. We had no technician, no help, not even the keys to start up the rigs. For 2 years, we contended to see the vision of the wells become a reality. I told God I could not do it alone. The rigs were there. I had no engineering ability. I had no real vision. I didn't know how to make the parts come together. No, I had no real training, sorry. But we wanted those wells drilled. At last, hope came when a friend of ours told us he knew an engineer who was willing to come from Georgia and help us. His name was David. When David arrived, we discovered that we had lost another set of keys. This one to access a critical container for the second rig, which we then had to cut through with a blowtorch. When I arrived to see how the digging was progressing, David came down out of the rig and said, you have to know at this point that Heidi is very small, petite, blonde, attractive looking lady. David said, "Hiya, baby, do you want to see these machines drill?" "Sure," I said. "Well, it'll be a big miracle. Do you really want to see these machines drill, baby?" At this point, I began to wonder whether this man had gone to school. I was starting to get worried. I'd told everybody that an expert in well drillings had arrived and that we were about to have the drills up and moving. But looking at him, I wondered if he was even qualified for the job. Of course, God can qualify whomever he likes. He can use any yielded person, and David turned out to be a yielded person. He asked me if I would like the drilling rigs to be parked outside the church that following Sunday morning, and so the following Sunday morning, 2 huge trucks hauled them up in front of the church building. David produced the key and the drills started running. I saw the ground break open right before my eyes. We were giddy with joy. After 2 long years, we had finally seen the fulfillment of the dream. After church that day, I invited David back to our house to eat. After we'd eaten, David turned to my husband and said to him, "Now I'm going to tell you the real story, okay? I ain't never finished high school. I ain't never seen any wells. I ain't never seen water come out of no hole. But I had a dream. I believed God would use me to drill water wells in Africa. I believed God that I would put those rigs together. I believed God when he said I was the man for the job. I have a company and we drill, but we only ever drilled sideways. I ain't never drilled down before, but I had a dream." In just a few days, God had used David to accomplish a mission that had been disrupted for years. Two other qualified engineers had told me it could not be done. Thousands of people are now drinking fresh, clean water because one yielded person said yes. Today, we have a dedicated well-digging team, including an amazing qualified Mozambican engineer, and we are continuing to dig new wells in Mozambique. You can perhaps see why I laughed out loud. The parallels are rather interesting. We have a dream, and what I liked about that story was that, do you know, at the time they were doing that, it probably didn't feel like a miraculous answer to prayer. It probably felt like a project that was enormously difficult and complicated, and they were facing setback after setback. It only looks miraculous in retrospect. I love that story for its human factor. They lost the keys? Really? Having spent that much money, they lost the keys? I love that story for the time factor. Miracles aren't always instant. I love that story for the risk factor. Personally, I'm praying for a builder who is qualified and doesn't just feel called to knock down the bricks in our front door. But it didn't probably look like a miracle when it was taking place, but it was still possible. So let's not doubt God's power. Let's just look on briefly to the last two phrases. Take this cup from me. Last week I said to you that if you're going to really pray, then you need to keep it real with God. You need to be honest. Most of the Psalms are Psalms of complaint. It's perfectly all right to say to God how you are, exactly how you are. Jesus asked for plan B. He wanted to avoid the cross. He didn't want to suffer. So we mustn't be tempted to pretend that we're okay when we're not. It's okay to keep it real, to be real with God. And yet, the last phrase is perhaps the most powerful. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Eve in the garden had said, not what you want, God, but what I want. And Jesus reversed that and said, not what I want, but what you want. We have to remember that there are three reasons why our prayers might not be answered. God's will. That doesn't mean to say when something bad happens to us that God willed it in a deliberately, specifically unkind way, because we live in a fallen world. People get sick and accidents happen because they simply do. But what I mean by God's will is that God does have good things planned for us. Billy Graham's wife once said, I'm so glad that God says no to our prayers, because otherwise I would have married the wrong man. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we live in God's world, which God does allow to run by natural principles. So he doesn't always bend it for us, our own unique needs, although incredibly and wonderfully he sometimes does. Prayers are also not answered sometimes because we have to be active in God's war. In Ephesians, we're reminded that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, the powers of this dark world, which is why we're encouraged to constantly pray, let your kingdom come. So if you feel discouraged in prayer, please don't be tempted to doubt God's love. Don't be tempted to doubt God's power. Remember to be real with God. Remember that God's purposes might not be what you have in mind, but that God can hold you and stay with you through what any experience you might have. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we come to declare what we believe? We'll use the words at the bottom of page 8 together. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're going to come to our time.